B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Yumad Daf Mem Zayin. We're going to start with the beginning of the next perek. And before we start this Mishnah, we're going to go back to the Mishnah on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis, the last Mishnah in the previous perek. It says there, Shochtoi, that the Kohen Gadol would shecht his bull, his par, v'kibel b'mizrak, as domoy, and he received the blood in a bowl. V'nosnei l'mishul memaris, he gave it to somebody who was memaris boy, who was going to stir it, ala reiv d'aravi shebehechal, etc. And then not al machto va'olol reish hamizbeach. He went up to the top of the mizbeach. He took a shovel of coals upino gecholim elech ve'elech v'choita min ha'ukolis ha'pnimiyis v'yorad v'nicha l'arevet ha'raviyy sheba'azora. He took a shovel full of coals that he was going to use for the k'tayres that was going to be brought in the kodesh hakodoshim. And now we're up to the next stage of the Avodah. Before he's doing anything with the blood of the bull, he's now going to do the Avodah in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The coals he's already taken off the Mizbeach from that special fireplace on the top of the big Mizbeach that was used. They took the coals from there for the K'tayres of Yom Kippur, according to many Mefarashim. And he's taken care of the coals now, but he now has to take care of the K'tayres themselves, the spices that were going to be burnt, the K'tayres, on the coals in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Says the Mishnah, Hitziuloi, they brought out from the chamber of the utensils, the Mlishkas HaKelim, Es HaKaf, the ladle, the spoon, that he was going to pour his cupped hands, his hands full, his two hands were going to be full of, he was going to cup them in a big pile of K'tayres, take out the a Meloi Chofnov is two hands full, and he was going to pour it into this spoon. Ves Hamachto, and they also brought out from the base of Tinus, which is where the K'tayres was prepared, they brought out a shovel full, heaped full of K'tayres. Chofan, he scooped up Meloi Chofnov, his cupped hands from of K'tayres from this Machto. V'nosan Toich HaKaf, and he put it into this ladle, the spoon. And says the Mishnah HaGodol, a larger Kohen, a Kohen whose hands were larger, Lefi Godloi, then his cupped hands would have a larger measure of K'tayres, V'akotn Lefi Kotnoi, and a small Kohen with smaller hands would have less K'tayres. V'kach Hoysa Midosa, and that was its measure. We're going to see in the Gemara a number of possible explanations for these three words. Continues the Mishnah, Notal Es Amachta, at this point, the Kohen Gadol, he took the shovel of coals that we spoke about on Daf Mem Gimel, b'yemino in his right hand, v'esakaf, and the spoon full of k'tayres, b'smoilo in his left hand, and that's as far as this Mishnah goes, and we're going to continue this the Avodah in the next Mishnah on Daf Nun Aleph Amud Beis. It's going to tell us that Hoyo Mahalich Behechal is going to tell us that he went into the Heichal, exactly how he walked through the Heichal into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. We'll see that on Daf Nun Aleph. Says the Gemara, Machto, it says Hoitziu Loi, so I explain the Mishnah as the Gemara is about to explain. But if you make a basic reading of the Mishnah, it seems Hoitziu Loi, they took out from the Lishkas HaKelim a kaf and the Machto, the spoon, and the machto, assuming this was the shovel that he was going to go into the Kodesh Kedoshim with, the shovel with the coals. And the Gemara says, machto, tonale, we already learnt about this on Daf Mem Ches and on Daf Mem Gimel, that not ales ha-machto, v'olo l'roish ha-mizbeach, v'choise v'yoyred, that he went up on the mizbeach, and this was done before, we saw this on Daf Mem Gimel, that he shoveled some of the coals from the mizbeach, and it had this shovel full and came down from the Mizbeach. And now we're ready a stage later. We're not going for that Machto. Says the Gemara, you're right. Hossam, over there we're talking about Machto de Gecholim, the shovel of the coals. That's not what this Mishnah is talking about. V'hocha Machto de K'tayres. Here we're talking about a shovel piled up with K'tayres from which the Kohen was going to take a cupped hands full and put it into the cuff. The Tanya, as we learnt in the Braiso, Itziuloi, they brought out kaf reikon, an empty spoon, an empty ladle, milishka sakelim, umachto gedusha, and a piled up shovel shel k'teres, full of k'teres, mi lishkas beis avtinus, as we've seen previously in the Masechta, that lishkas beis avtinus, the beis avtinus chambers where they prepared the k'teres. So they would bring out for the Kohen Gadol a heaped full of shovel full of k'teres from the lishkas beis avtinus. The Kohen would then take from that shovel a meloi chofnov, put it into the kaf, and then go with the kaf in his left hand, together with the coals in the shovel in his right hand, into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Continues the Gemara, Chofan, the Kohen would scoop up meloi chofnov v'noisen utech hakaf, hagodo lefi goidli, v'akotn lefi katnui, v'kach hoiso midoso. Quote from the Mishnah, says the Gemara, I don't understand. Why do you need a kaf? Why do you need this ladle with which to take the k'teres into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Why can't the Kohen just scoop up with his cupped hands, his two fistfuls, his two handfuls of k'teres, and go with them, with the k'teres in his hands, into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Kaf b'yoyim ha-kippurim lomoli. Meloi chofnov. V'hevi Omer Achmona. What does it say in the Chumash? The pasuk says in the Parshas Achrimos, "V'lokach meloi amachto gachle ish me'al hamizbeach melifnei Hashem u'meloi chofnov." He would take his hands full of k'teres samim dako, finely ground spices of the k'teres, v'hevi mibeis laporeches, and he's going to take with his meloi chofnov of k'teres, he's going to bring it to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It doesn't say in the pasuk you need a kli, a vessel, a kaf. Why do you need this kaf? Answers the Gemara Mishum Dolei Efshar. You're right, the pasuk doesn't say you need this spoon, and later on we're going to see there may be halachic ramifications and possibly even leniences because, according to the letter of the law, we shouldn't really have to need this kaf. The pasuk doesn't say you need it. However, you've got no choice. You have to use the kaf. Why? Deichen Avid, what are you going to do? How do we do the avodah of the k'teres in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? There was a shovel of coals. Onto the coals was placed the k'teres, and then the k'teres would get burnt on the coals. That was the avodah in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So we know that a shovel of coals has to be brought in. We know that two handfuls of k'teres have to be brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Deheicha Navid, how are you going to do it? Na'ayil, are you going to go in once, v'hodor na'ayil, and then go in again? Once to take in the shovel of coals, and a second time to go in with your two hands full of k'teres? That can't be. Havoa achas omer achmona, v'lo ishtei havois. The pasuk just says once. V'hevi, you should bring in the coals and the k'teres at once into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. How are you going to bring the shovel of k'teres if you've got your two hands full of k'teres? How are you going to bring the shovel of coals if you've got your two hands full of k'teres? Are you going to suggest that nishkele l'k'teres b'choifnov, fill up your two hands with k'teres, v'nochsei l'machto alo, and then put the shovel of the coals on top of that, on top of the k'teres in the, on top of the hands holding the k'teres, v'leil, and then go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim that way? That would be a good idea, that you can also have your two hands full of k'teres and at the same time be able to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with the coals, with a single entry into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. However, what are you going to do then? How are you going to put the coals, the shovel of coals, onto the floor of the Kodesh HaKadoshim in order to pour the k'teres on it? Kimoti hasam, when you reach there, hey chalevid, what are you going to do? Nishkele b'shina, you're going to use your teeth to remove that shovel of coals, v'nochse lemachta, and that's how you'll put that shovel down on the floor. Hashtalifne melech basav dom, even before a king of basav dom, of flesh and blood, ain oisin kain, it's inappropriate to use your teeth to put a utensil down. Lifnei melech malchei amlochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before Hashem, the King of all the kings, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, alachas kama v'kamo, it's even more so that it's inappropriate to do that. Hilkoch, therefore, lo yefshe, you've got no choice. So we have to do something. V'kiven dolei efshe, what do you do? Of Dinon Kadashkachon b'Nesiim, in the parish of the Nesiim, it says there's a concept of kaf achas meleo k'teres. We find a concept of a spoonful of k'teres over here, that we just have to find some way of getting the k'teres and the coals into the Kodesh HaKadoshim at the same time in an appropriate fashion. We have no choice but to take the two handfuls of k'teres and put it into a shovel, into a spoon, into a ladle, into this kaf, and that way bring it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And we're going to see later that it could be that because The pasuk doesn't say that you need this vessel. It doesn't say it explicitly, and you've just, for no choice, you have to use one. It could be that afterwards the kohen would then re-pour the contents of this cup back into his hands and pour from his hands onto the coals to conform with what it seems to be explicit in the pasuk. We're going to see that later on in the Gemara. Continues the Gemara. Not alas amachto b'yamini, took the shovel of coals with his right hand, ve'es akaf b'smoil, and the spoon of the k'teres in his left hand. Asks the Gemara, does it make sense that yitziva, that the citizens should be ba'ara, should be on the ground, v'kiyura, and the strangers, the foreigners, b'shmei shemaya, should be high in the heavens? Which is a way of asking that it doesn't make sense. The coals are there to serve the k'teres. The most important part is the k'teres. So why would you take the k'teres and put it in the left hand and the coals in the right hand? It should be the other way around. The right hand is the more prominent hand, is the one that should be taking the k'teres in. Answers the Gemara, Zu meruba, because the g'cholim, the coals, were three kav of coals, as we've learned early on in the Masechta. V'zu, and the k'teres, generally speaking, is mu'etes, is much less. It's just two hands full, which is much less than the coals. And therefore, the heavier shovel is brought in the right hand with the stronger hand, and the lighter shovel, the lighter spoon, is in the left hand. Even though it could be that you had the kohen with larger fists, and then the amount that the kohen of k'teres that would be similar to that of the coals, and sometimes there would even be like Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis, who would have four kav, even more k'teres, his hands were so big, he would have even more k'teres than coals. Nonetheless, since the majority of kohanim, most of the time, most years, the amount of k'teres was much less than that of the coals, therefore, as a rule, the coals were taken in the right hand and the k'teres in the left hand. That's how Rashi seems to learn this Gemara, and Rashi seems not to be geirus. The next four words, zu chama v'zu tzoynenes. Other mefarshim, they actually ask a question, that a regular kohen who has less k'teres, then we understand that the larger and heavier coals should be in the right hand. But what about b'ksheshneim shovim? In the event that the kohen is taking so much k'teres that it's similar to the amount of coals, or in the case of Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis, who was a kohen gadol who had even more k'teres than coals, how would we answer that? And according to that version in the Gemara, the answer would be zu chama v'zu tzoynenes. Since the coals are hot, they are taken in the right hand. Since the k'teres is cold, is taken in the left hand. But Rashi doesn't seem to have that girsa. Continues the Gemara. Omro lava al Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis. It was said about Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis, who was a kohen gadol, shayachayfen arbaas kavin. His two hands, the two handfuls, was the amount of k'teres was four kav of k'teres. That's how large his hands were. B'mloy chofnov, in his full cupped hands. Va'omer, and Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis, he would say, kol hanoshim, regarding all other women, zordu. We'll soon see what this word means. V'zered ima, however, the zered of my mother, referring to himself, olo legag, was superior. Olo legag means went up on the roof, but it means was superior to that of all other women. What does that mean? Ikad omra ba'arson. They used to give people who are sick, who are not well, who needed strengthening, including pregnant women, they would give them a cereal called arson, discussed in other places in Shas. And he says all women, when they were pregnant, would have this arason. But the quality or the effect that the arason had on my mother and on the child she was carrying, namely me, Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis, was superior to that of all the other mothers and all the other kohanim. Ukhdu Rabbi Bar Yenison, Da'omar Rabbi Bar Yenison, Omar Bichil, arason. This cereal is yofel lechela. It helps to strengthen a weaker person. The Ikad Omra, others say that this Zordu is not a type of cereal. The Gemara then Brocha says Zordon and Arason are the same type of cereal, just a different measure, a different way of preparing it. This Ikad Omra, another version, says that this Zordu actually means B'shichva Zera. Uchdrebavo, Drebavo, Rami. Rebavo asked a question. Ksiv, in one pasuk it says in Shmuel, Vatazreini Chayel Lamelchoma, which means that David HaMelech said, you girdled me with strength, lemelchoma, for battle. Uchsiv, in a different pasuk, it says, Hamaaz hat vataazreini chayil lemelchoma, again, that you girdled me and gave me the strength for the war. So in one place it says, vataazreini, without an aleph, and in another pasuk in Tehillim there it says, vataazreini chayil, with an aleph. And the Gemara explains, Omar David lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, David HaMelech was saying to Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, Zereisoni. First, the first pasuk, Vatazreini, is coming from the root of Zoro, which means to winnow, which means to separate the best and most choicest part from all others. That's Zereisoni. First, when you created me, I was created from the choicest part of the Shechva Zera. And afterwards, you've got the second word, Vata'azreini, whose root is Ezer, which means to girdle and to give me strength. Vaziraztoni, you girdled me and you gave me the strength to go out to war. So you see that there's such a concept of the choicest part of the Zera being used, and the same as David HaMelech said, Zerisoni, and that's why he said Vata'azreini without the Aleph, and that's what Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimche said when he said that Zered ima oile lagag. Omro lova Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis, was said about him, about Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis, that pam achas, at one point, Sipir Dvorim, he was speaking in Aravi with an Arab echod, Maravi echod Bashuk, with an Arab in the marketplace. On Yom Kippur, the Mefarshim discuss what on earth is a Kohen Gadol doing in the marketplace. On Yom Kippur, he's supposed to be in the Beis HaMikdash doing the Avodah. It was obviously a very important matter that had to be taken care of. V'nidze, and he spat, this Arab spat, sinoira some saliva mipiv from his mouth, al-begodov, onto the clothes of the Kohen Gadol. And he became Tommy. V'nichnas yeshiv of Ochiv. This Rabbi Shmuel had a brother who was the deputy, the scan, and he had to take his place to carry on the Avodah. The Shimesh Tachtov, and he served the Yom Kippur Avodah in the place of Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis. V'ras or Imon, and their mother, Kimchis, saw that year Shnei Kohanim Gedolim. Two of her sons were both Kohanim Gedolim, B'yom Echad, in one day. V'shuv Amru, another incident happened. Omro Lava Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis, who was the Kohen Gadol, the Pamachas Yotzov a Sipir im Hegmoin Echot. He had to go out again to speak to some officer, Bashuk, in the marketplace, and again, Venizot Sinoira Mepiv al Begodov, some saliva came from the mouth of this guy onto his clothes, and he became Tomei. Venichnas Yosef Ochiv, and Yosef, his brother, took his place, Vashimish Tachtov, and served on Yom Kippur in his place. The Ras or Imon, and their mother, again, this Kimchis, saw Shnei Kohanim Gedolim B'yom Echad, two of her sons who were Kohanim Gedolim on the same day. Ton Rabbonon, Shiva Bonim Hoyuloi LeKimchis, Kimchis had seven sons, the Kuron Shimshu B'kuna Gedolim, and all of them served as Kohanim Gedolim. And it doesn't mean that one died and therefore the next one took over, that would not be a praise. Tosfos Shonim, he explains that obviously incidents similar to those mentioned above happened that during her lifetime, she saw all her seven sons serving as Kohanim Gedolim. Omru lo Chachomim, the Chachomim asked Kimchis, Ma osis, what did you do, shezachis lekach, that you merited to such a thing, that all your seven sons would be Kohanim Gedolim? Omru lehem, she said to the Chachomim, Miyomai, all my days leiro, kairis besi, the beams of my home didn't see, kil esari, the braids of my hair. Whenever appropriate, I would make sure that my hair was fully covered. And Rashi brings here from the Yerushalmi that there's a pasuk that says, Kol kvudo bas melech pnima, the honor of the daughter of a princess is to be inside, mimishpatzois zav levusha, that comparing her to very fine golden clothes, that from there we learn, the Yerushalmi says, that Isha Tznua, a modest woman who knows that her place is in the home, is deserving that she should have Kohanim Gedolim who are wearing the golden clothes. Omra, the Chachomim said, Harbe also kein v'lo ha'ilu. It's interesting because there were other women that were also tried to be careful that the beams of their homes shouldn't see the hair. Even inside the homes, the hair was covered all the time, and nonetheless they didn't merit this. Continues the Gemara. Tonu Rabbonon. And now in the next Gemara, we have to make sure not to get confused between two similar concepts, but very different. We know that whenever a Kohen Mincha was brought, then a koimetz, which is a single fistful, it's not even a whole fist, it's three fingers of one hand that would take part of the mincha, the korban mincha, and take away, it's called a koimetz, put it into a kli sharis, and then it would go onto the mizbeach, and the rest of the korban mincha was called shiraim, the remnants, and would be eaten by whoever was supposed to eat the korban mincha. That's called a koimetz, where we separate a three fingers of one hand of the mincha. And then we've got a similar concept, which is what we're discussing here, where you've got a cupped hands, which is two hands full of k'tayres that was taken from this shovel full of k'tayres and was then taken into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Gemara says as follows. Bekum tzoy. And now we're going to start by talking about the koimetz. It says v'heirim imenu b'kumtzoy misoiles hamincha, that in the parasha where it says that you take a koimetz of the korban mincha, it says the word b'kumtzoy with his fist. Shelo yase mida l'koimetz. Don't make a type of a utensil which is the same size as the contents of three fingers of this kohen, and then whenever you need to do a koimetz, instead of doing it with your hands, use this made-to-measure utensil. No. The pasuk says, Bekum tzoy, with his fist. Yeah, he has to do it with his own hand. He has to remove the koimetz. So with the koimetz, there's no discussion. It's got to be with the hand of the kohen, with the kohen. Iboilu, the question is, Mao sheyase mida lechafino. Regarding the chafino, which is the meloi chofno of the cupped hands of the kohen gadol taking the k'tayres, does he have to do it with his hands, or could you prepare a type of utensil that contains exactly the same amount of k'tayres as his cupped hands would, and use that instead, or do you have to use your hands? It doesn't say in the Torah b'choifnoi like it says b'kumtzoi. That was the question of the Gemara. Says the Gemara, hosom. And the Gemara is now explaining, over there by the koimetz, hu dechsev bekoimtze, it says bekoimtze. Aval hocha, but in the case of the meloi chofnov, deloiksev bechofnov, it doesn't say explicitly bechofnov with his hands. It just says meloi chofnov, you should have fistfuls, handsfuls of k'tayres taken to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Maybe there, you don't need that it's done with his hands, as long as you have the right measure. In this case, you don't need, it doesn't have to be done with his hands. Oy dilmo, maybe no. Yalif moli or meloi from meloi mikumtzoi. It says regarding the meloi chofnov, it says melokach meloi hamachto, and it says meloi chofnov, sorry. He's got to take meloi chofnov k'tayres samim. And then it says regarding the koimetz, it says meloi kumtzoi in the pasuk. And since it says meloi kumtzoi and it says meloi chafnov, I were going to make a gzera shava meloi meloi. And the same way as it says be kumtzoi, it's as if it says be chofnoi, it has to be with his fists. Or maybe not, that was the question. Do we say this gzera shava or not? Toshma, we're going to try and bring proof. What does it say in our Mishnah? After it tells us that a big kohen had, with bigger fists, with bigger hands, had a larger measure of k'tayres and a smaller kohen had a smaller measure, the Mishnah says, v'kach hoysami dosa, and that was its measure. My love, can we not assume that these three words in the Mishnah mean, sheim rotzo lasis mida acheres oisa, that if you want to make a measure, the word acheres, is, the Bach says, is out of place here, but if you want to make a utensil, a vessel, that will contain the same measure as this kohen, that suffices. So then we have an explicit proof from the Mishnah that we don't say meloi meloi, and that regarding the meloi chofnov, you're allowed to do it with a kli. That was the question, or with the proof that the Gemara tried to bring from our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, loi, you don't have proof from our Mishnah. Because it could be that the Mishnah means something else. When it says it means that in the same way as he used his fists, his two hands, to remove the k'tayres, to select, to scoop up the k'tayres from the big shovelful and put it into this spoon and take the spoon into the Kodesh HaKodashim. When you went into the Kodesh HaKodashim, he would then again do the same thing. He would pour from this spoon back into his hands. And that's what it means, v'kachoy somidah, so that the same thing would happen in the Kodesh HaKodashim. Says the Gemara, if that's how you're learning the Mishnah, Shomis Minos, so do you then have proof from our Mishnah regarding a question that the Gemara is going to ask on Daf Mem Tes Amud Aleph, Choyfen v'choyzer v'choyfen? This was a question. Does the Kohen have to again pour the k'tayres into his hands before pouring onto the coals or not? And that was a question in the Gemara. So are you saying that from this Mishnah there's proof, v'kachoyz amidasa, that indeed you do have to do that? Says the Gemara, no, you cannot bring proof from the Mishnah either way. It could be the Mishnah means v'kachoyz amidasa, that you can use a utensil. It could be that the Mishnah means that you have to re-pour the k'tayres into his hands. And it could even mean v'kachoyz amidasa means it's something entirely different. It could be it means make sure that it's an exact measure, not more and not less. And since the Mishnah could mean any of these three things, you don't have proof for any of them. Dilma, maybe Shem Rotzo Lasis Mida Oisa. Maybe the Mishnah is coming to tell us that you can use a kli and you don't need to do it with your hands. Maybe Inami, maybe the Mishnah is coming to tell us Shelo Yechsar Veshelo Yoser. You have to take an exactly full two handfuls of the cupped hands of K'tayres, not more and not less, as we'll see later in the Gemara. And it could be that the Mishnah means that you have to be choifen v'choizer v'choifen. So you have no proof either way from our Mishnah. And so we've more or less left with a question, do we say meloi meloi, or do we not say meloi meloi? It's a question the Gemara hasn't resolved here, and the Gemara is actually later on going to revert back to this and say that a future question is dependent on this question. Continues the Gemara Tanu Rabbanon. It says in the Pasuk, v'hevi'o el b'nei Aaron akeanim v'komatz misham meloi kumtzoi miselto, that we're again talking about the kumtzoi of the fistful or the three fingers of a handful of k'tayres. So what does it say from, what do we learn from meloi kumtzoi? We learn yachol mevurutz, if we'll just say meloi kumtzoi, his hands full of the mincha, the korban mincha that he's taking a koimetz from, I may have thought mevurutz, even when it's overflowing. Talmud Loma, that's what it says back in the pasuk we saw before. Vehirim imenu bekumtzei, bekumtzei means exactly bekumtzei, not overflowing. I bekumtzei, if you'd only say bekumtzei, Yochel, I may have thought barashi etzboisav, you'll just take it as little as possible, just a tiny bit of the mincha will be the koimetz, and not more than that. The less the better, says Rashi. Talmud Loma, that's why it says meloi kumtzei. No, take a full koimetz. Koimetz meaning the three fingers. You take the three middle fingers of his right hand, not overflowing, but not less either. That's what you learn from bekumtzei. So from this bekumtzei, we've already learned from the same word two things. Number one, you have to do it with his fist. He cannot do it with a utensil. Number two, it has to be a full koimetz. So what do we learn from here, from bekumtzei? That it has to be k'dekumtzei inshi. You have to do a regular scooping like normal people would scoop up. Ha-ketzad, how would you do that? Choyfe sholosh etzba'osav al pisas yodoy. He puts his hands from the sides of his hands, the sides of his hands, starting with the little finger, straight into the mincha. He then closes, choyfe, closes sholosh etzba'osav, the middle three fingers, al pisas yodoy, over the palm of his hand, the koimetz, and he scoops up. So when it's just the type of korban mincha, which is just flour, just virtue of doing that, whatever's in the three fingers will stay in there. Anything that's bulging will just fall off. However, ubamachavas ubamarchesh, it's a type of mincha that before doing the koimetz, it was fried. It's either in a machavas, in a flat pan, or in a marcheshes, in a deep pan. And there it was much more complicated to do that because there's the parts that of the mincha is not fine flour. It's already been broken up, fried, and so to almost baked and fried pieces of mincha, which were then crumbled up again, much bigger pieces. And you can't just, those pieces sticking out from the second and fourth finger, you can't just remove them altogether because then it will be lacking. You have to keep the pieces in between his three fingers and break off whatever's protruding using the thumb and the little finger. Moichuk, he's got to smooth it out, begoidle with his thumb, milamailo, and thumb on top, ubeetzboi ktano, and with his little finger, milamato. Vazui avoida kosher shebemigdosh, and this was the very difficult avoida service in the Beis HaMikdosh. Shebemigdosh, is this the only hard avoid in the Beis HaMikdosh, is doing the koimet on a machavas and marcheshes? Says the Gemara, v'sulay, no more. V'ha'ika melika. What about melika? It was very difficult. It was difficult to melika, which is a type of shechita, not done with a knife, but it's the way they did shechita on a bird using the thumbnail. And that was also a hard avoida. V'ha'ika chafina. There was scooping up the handful of the Keteres, we're going to learn on Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis, that it was also a difficult avoida. So why are you saying here that doing the koimetz of a mincha was hard, as if it's the only hard thing in the Beis HaMikdosh? No. Elo zuhi may avoid this kosher sheba mikdosh. What we meant to say was, it's one of the more challenging avoidas in the Beis HaMikdosh, but not the only one. So that's what the Gemara says from here. Of that we learn from Maloi Kumtsoi and from Bekumtsoi, you've got to do it normally. Not just a little bit, not overflowing, not too much. It's got to be a regular Bekumtsoi, three fingers full. And we're going to see later on in the Gemara, exactly what, that at the bottom of this Omud, what's included and excluded in this. Continues the Gemara, Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Boyer Rabbi Yeshua ben Uzzah. Rabbi Yeshua ben Uzzah asked the following question. Now, when a person would typically put his hands into a mincha, into flour, and to take the three fingers full of his fist for the koimetz that would then go on the base on the mizbeach, then inevitably there's going to be some flour in between his fingers which he didn't intend to scoop up even. They were just there by virtue of the fact that that's what happens when you scoop up the flour. Bein habinaim shel meloi kumtzoi. When he takes this meloi kumtzoi, his fistful, the three fingers full, and there's a little bit of the mincha, the flour, in between his fingers. Mao, what's the halacha? Is it considered as part of the koimetz, which has to go on the Beis HaMikdosh, onto the Mizbeach, or is it considered as part of the shiraim, the remnants, what's left over of the mincha, which has to be eaten, not to be allowed to be put on the Mizbeach? Omer of Papa, Rav Papa said as follows, De gavoi, the parts that are between the fingers but can be seen, so to speak, from the inside, loite boi lecha, that's not a question, de vadai koimetz, so of course it's part of the koimetz. De baroi, the parts that are sticking out that you can see from the outside, loite boi lecha, that's also not a question. De vadai shiraim, of course it's considered part of the remnants, it's not part of the flower that's supposed to be part of the koimetz to go on the mizbeach. Kite boi lecha, when am I questioning? The beina beina, my, when it's exactly between the fingers, they cannot be seen from the inside and not from the outside. Is it koimetz? Is it shiraim? Omer Rabbi Yechanon, who told us that Rabbi Yeshua ben Uzzah had this question, he says, Hodor poshto Yeshua ben Uzzah. Yeshua ben Uzzah, Rabbi Yeshua ben Uzzah, actually, he himself resolved this question, that beina binaim is sofik ninu. It actually has the status of a doubt, of a sofik. Maybe it's shiraim, maybe it's koimetz. So what do? We have a challenge here. A koimetz goes on the mizbeach, shiraim has to be eaten. What do you do with the flour in between his fingers? Heicha ovid, what do you do? Omer of Chanina, Rav Chanina said as follows, Maktir koimetz l'chudei tchila. First you take the koimetz on its own, which is only what was inside the fingers, not between the fingers. You put it into a kli, and that is the koimetz, and you put it on the mizbeach on its own. V'hodar beina binayim, and afterwards you add on the bits of flour that was between his fingers, you put that on the mizbeach separately. And why do you have to do this? De'i omras bein habinayim bereisha, because if you're going to first offer up onto the mizbeach the parts of the flour that were in between his fingers, Dil mishiraim ninu. We said it was a doubt, it was a suffix. In the event that it's considered shiraim, it's considered the remnants of the kaimutz, it's considered as part of the mincha, not part of the kaimutz, what's going to happen then? That means that when you actually put the rest of the kaimutz onto the mizbeach, the remains of the mincha is lacking, because in the event that the bits in between his fingers are considered the remainders, they're considered the shiraim, they're now being burnt on the mizbeach, they're no longer shiraim. Dilma shiraim ninu. Maybe the flower between his fingers are considered shiraim. V'havalu shiraim shechosru. And now what will have transpired is that the shiraim, the overall shiraim, which is the whole mincha excluding the kaimut, is now lacking, is missing. Shechosru bein kmitza l'aktorah. Between taking away, separating the kmitza and putting the kaimut on the mizbeach, it will have been missing, because you put that flour onto the mizbeach before putting the kaimutz on the mizbeach. And therefore you cannot put the flour from between his fingers onto the mizbeach before you put the kaimutz on. And we know the aloch is that shiraim shechosru bein kmitza l'aktora, if there's anything lacking from the shiraim between the time you do the kmitza and the time you put the kaimutz on the mizbeach, ein maktin aleim les ha-kaimutz, then you're not, it's possible, you're not allowed to put the kaimutz onto the mizbeach anymore. Ihos, and therefore you first put the kaimutz on, and then you're safe. And now maybe the bits in between his fingers are also considered kaimutz, you'll put that on afterwards. And in the event that the shiraim, that the bits in between his fingers are not the kaimutz, it's considered shiraim, so you've put the shiraim on the mizbeach after the kaimutz, let's assume that that's okay. The Gemara is now going to ask that it's not okay. If so, hashtanami, even now, with what you're saying, that you first put the kaimutz on the mizbeach, and only then you put the flour of between his fingers on the mizbeach, ihocha hashtanami ikrikan, you'd have transgressed here the halacha of kol shemimenu le'ishim, any part of a korban, that part of it was supposed to be put on the mizbeach, and was put on the mizbeach, harehu, whatever's left over, bebal taktiru, you're not allowed to put it on the mizbeach. For example, a korban chatos, once the fats went on the mizbeach, you're not allowed to put any other parts of the chatos onto the mizbeach. Also with the mincha, once you've put the k'tayres, once you've put the kaimutz onto the mizbeach, you're not allowed to put any of the shiraim on the mizbeach. So here, what does it help to put the kaimutz on the mizbeach first and then put the shiraim on? You're not allowed to put the shiraim on in the event that the flower between his fingers is called shiraim. You're not allowed to put that on the mizbeach. It's bebal taktiru. It's learnt out from a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Lo isaktiru mimenu ishel Hashem," that anything that part of it was put on the mizbeach, you're not allowed to put any of the shiraim on the mizbeach. Answers the Gemara, "Omer Rabbi Yehuda Breid Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, I've got a solution. The maktir le l'shum eitzim, that when you'll take, after you put the kaimutz onto the mizbeach, you'll take the flour that was between his fingers, and you'll say as follows, you'll make a condition. You'll say, if the status of this flower is part of the kaimutz, I'm adding it to the kaimutz on the mizbeach. In the event that it's shiraim, I'm not allowed to put it on the mizbeach to be part of an ereach nichoyach, which is a term used for korbono, it's a satisfying aroma, that you're not allowed to do. But I can put the shiraim on the mizbeach with the intentions of it should just be added firewood, so to speak. I'm adding to the eitzim, to the woods. That you can do, Kedir Rabbi Eliezer. Like Rabbi Eliezer said, Rabbi Eliezer was actually talking about the limbs of a korban chatos that are not allowed to go on the mizbeach. After the fats were put on the mizbeach, that's it. The korban chatos is eaten. What happens if the limbs of the korban chatos got mixed up with limbs of a korban oilo? That the limbs of the korban oilo have to be put on the mizbeach. What do we do now? We don't know which ones are oila, which ones are chatos. So Eliezer says that even though you're not allowed to put the limbs of a korban chatos onto the mizbeach, because, as we said before, lo isaktiru mimenu, you're not allowed to. However, over here, in order to avoid it, having to throw all the limbs away, and because maybe it's oila, and oila has to go on the mizbeach, and saying the whole thing is possible, what Rabbi Eliezer said was, "Detanya, Rabbi Eliezer Oimer, l'reach nechoach i'atamale." You're not allowed to put these limbs onto the mizbeach, so to speak, as a reach nechoach, as a satisfying aroma. Avolato malo lushum etim. You are allowed to put them up as added wood, so to speak. And then the person who puts the limbs that have got confused on the mizbeach says as follows: if this is the oil or limbs, it should be lereach nichoyach. If it's the chatos, it should be leitzim. It should just be as if it's extra wood. The same we'll say here, that the flower between his fingers, if they're koimetz, it's fine. It has to go on the mizbeach. If it's shiraim, then it will serve as wood. Says the Gemara, according to Abliezer, that works. Elul Rabbonon, according to the Rabbonon, who say that over there in the case of the chatos and the oil, they got mixed up, you're not allowed to put it on the mizbeach and the whole thing gets lost. Ma'ikan Amema, what are you going to say? They don't say that you can put something on the mizbeach, even though it seems that you're transgressing the kol shemimenu le'ishim, that loisaktiru mimenu, and you can get around that by doing it l'shum eitzim in the name of wood. According to the Rabbanon, that you cannot say that, what are you going to do here? Omer of Mary. Rav Mary says, you have no choice. We have to try and make sure that the Kohen who takes the koimetz should be the komtzi shmeini. It should be a Kohen who's got quite fat fingers, and then the flesh of his fingers are very tightly together in a way that there's no flour will be stuck between his fingers, and then we'll have avoided the issue. Says the Gemara, hash to the osis lachi, once you've come to such a solution, Rabbi Eliezer nami, even according to Rabbi Eliezer, lekatchila, the best should be lekatchila, the komtzi shmeina, that such a kohen who will not get into this problem should do the koimetz in order to avoid this problem. Even though according to Rabbi Eliezer, you're allowed to make this condition and put it on as if it's eitzim onto the mizbeach, but it's only b'di'eved, you shouldn't do it lekatchila. And the Mirza Hashem, in the next share, we're going to continue from here.